Ships I knew, who had exchanged their ancillary crews for human ones, had said their experience of emotion had changed, though this didn't seem quite like the data they had shown me. The sound of one-esque singing came faintly to Lieutenant On and Lieutenant Dariot, a simple song with two parts.
I was walking, when I met my love. I was in the street walking, when I saw my true love. I said, she is more beautiful than jewels, lovelier than jade or lapis, silver or gold.
I'm glad one-esque is itself again, said Lieutenant Dariot. That first day was eerie.
Two-esque didn't sing, Lieutenant On pointed out.
Right, but...
Lieutenant Dariot gestured doubt.
It wasn't right.
She looked speculatively at Lieutenant On. I can't talk about it, said Lieutenant On, and lay back down, crossing her arms over her eyes. On the command deck, Hundred Captain Rubrin met with the decade commanders, drank tea, talked about schedules and leave times.
You haven't mentioned Hundred Captain Rubrin, said Mianai in the VAR decade room.
I hadn't. I knew Captain Rubrin extremely well. Knew her every breath, every twitch of every muscle. She had been my captain for 56 years. I have never heard her express an opinion on the matter, I said, quite truthfully.
Never? Then it's certain she has one and is concealing it.
This struck me as something of a double bind. Speak, and your possession of an opinion was plain, clear to anyone. Refrain from speaking, and still, this was proof of an opinion. If Captain Rubrin were to say, truly, I have no opinion on the matter, would that merely be another proof she had one?
Surely she's been present when others have discussed it, Mianai continued. What have her feelings been in such cases?
Exasperation, I answered through one VAR. Impatience, sometimes boredom.
Exasperation, mused Mianai. At what, I wonder?
I didn't know the answer, so I said nothing.
Her family connections are such that I can't be certain where her sympathies are most likely to lie, and some of them I don't want to alienate before I can move openly. I have to tread carefully with Captain Rubrin, but so will she.
She, meaning, of course, herself. There had been no attempt to discover my sympathies. Perhaps, no, certainly they were irrelevant. And I was already well along the path the other Mianai had set me on. These few Mianais and the four segments of one VAR thawed for her service only made the VAR deck seem emptier and all the decks between here and my engines. Hundreds of thousands of ancillaries slept in my holds, and they would likely be removed within the next few years, either stored or destroyed, never waking again. And I would be placed in orbit somewhere permanently, my engines almost certainly disabled, or I would be destroyed outright, though none of us had been so far, and I was fairly sure I would more likely serve as a habitat or the core of a small station. Not the life I had been built for.
No, I can't be hasty with Rubrin Osk. But your Lieutenant On is another matter, and perhaps she can be of use in discovering where our stands.
My lord, I said through one of one VAR's mouths, I'm at a loss to understand what's happening. I would feel a great deal more comfortable if the Hundred Captain knew you were here.
You dislike concealing things from your captain?
Anander asked, with a tone that was equal parts bitter and amused.
Yes, my lord. I will, of course, proceed precisely as you order me.
A sudden sense of déjà vu overcame me.
Of course, I should explain some things.
The sense of déjà vu grew stronger. I had had this conversation before, in almost exactly these circumstances, with the Lord of the Roch.
You know that each of your ancillary segments is entirely capable of having its own identity, she would say next.
You know that each of your ancillary segments is entirely capable of having its own identity.
Yes. Every word familiar. I could feel it, as though we were reciting lines we had memorized. Next, she would say, imagine you became undecided about something.
Imagine some enemy separated part of you from yourself.
Not what I had been expecting. What is it people say when that happens? They're divided, they're of two minds.
Imagine that enemy managed to forge or force its way past all the necessary accesses, and that part of you came back to you, but wasn't really part of you anymore, but you didn't realize it. Not right away.
You and I, we really can be of two minds, can't we?
That's a very alarming thought, my lord.
It is.
Agreed Anandermi and I, all the time sitting in the Vardecade room, inspecting the corridors and rooms of the Vardec, watching Lieutenant On, alone again, and miserable. Gesturing through my mind on the central access deck, or so she thought.
I don't know precisely who has done it. I suspect the involvement of the Presger. They've been meddling in our affairs since before the treaty. And after, 500 years ago, the best surgicals and correctives were made in Roch space. Now we buy from the Presger. At first, only at border stations, but now they're everywhere. 800 years ago, the translator's office was a collection of minor officials who assisted in the interpretation of extra-Roch intelligence, and who smoothed linguistic problems during annexations. Now they dictate policy. Chief among them, the emissary to the Presger.
The last sentence was spoken with audible distaste.
Before the treaty, the Presger destroyed a few ships. Now they destroy all of Roch civilization. Expansion, annexation is very expensive. Necessary, it has been from the beginning. From the first, to surround the Roch itself with a buffer zone, protecting it from any sort of attack or interference. Later, to protect those citizens, and to expand the reach of civilization. And...
Me and I stopped, gave a short, exasperated sigh.
To pay for the previous annexations, to provide wealth for Rajshai in general.
My lord, what do you suspect the Presger of having done? But I knew. Even with my memory obscured and incomplete, I knew.
Divided me, corrupted part of me, and the corruption has spread. The other me has been recruiting, not only more parts of me, but also my own citizens, my own soldiers.
My own ships.
My own ships. I can only guess what her goal is, but it can't be anything good.
Do I understand correctly, I asked, already knowing the answer, that this other Anandermi and I is the force behind the ending of annexations?
She will destroy everything I've built.
I had never seen the Lord of the Roch so frustrated and angry, had not thought her capable of it.
Do you realize, there's no reason you should ever have thought of it, that it's the appropriation of resources during annexations that drives our economy? I'm afraid, my lord, that I'm only a troop carrier and have never concerned myself with such things. But what you say makes sense.
And you, I doubt you're looking forward to losing your ancillaries.
Outside my distant companions, the justices parked around the system sat silent, waiting. How many of them had received this visit, or both these visits? I am not, my lord.
I can't promise that I can prevent it. I'm not prepared for open warfare. All my moves are in secret, pushing here, pulling there, making sure of my resources and support. But in the end, she is me, and there's little I can do she won't already have thought of. She has outmaneuvered me several times already. It's why I've been so cautious in approaching you. I wanted to be sure she hadn't already suborned you.
I felt it was safer not to comment on that, and instead said, through one var, My lord, the guns in the lake in oars.
Was that your enemy? I almost asked. But if we were faced with two Ananders, each opposing the other, how did anyone know which was which?
Events in Oars didn't come out precisely the way I wished, answered Anander Me and I. I never expected anyone would find those guns, but if some Oarsian fisherman had found them and said nothing, or even taken them, my purpose would still have been served.
Instead, Denzai had reported her find to Lieutenant On. The Lord of the Roch hadn't expected that, I saw. Hadn't thought the Orzians trusted Lieutenant On that much.
I didn't get what I wanted there, but perhaps the results will still serve my purpose. Hundred Captain Rubrin is about to receive orders to depart this system for Valskai. It was past time for you to leave, and you would have a year ago if not for the Divine of Ict's insistence that Lieutenant On stay, and my own opposition. Whether knowingly or not, Lieutenant On is the instrument of my enemy, I'm certain of it.
I didn't trust even one Var's impassivity to answer that, and therefore didn't speak. Above, on the central access deck, the Lord of the Roch continued to make changes, give orders, alter my thoughts. Still believing she could, in fact, do that. No one was surprised at the order to depart. Four other justices already had in the last year, to destinations meant to be final. But neither I nor any of my officers had expected Valskai, six gates away. Valskai, that I had been sorry to leave. 100 years ago, in the city of Vestris Kor, on Valskai itself, one Esk had discovered volume upon volume of elaborate, multi-voiced choral music, all intended for the rites of Valskai's troublesome religion, some of it dating from before humans had ever reached space. Downloaded everything it found so that it hardly regretted being sent away from such a treasure out to the countryside. Hard work prying rebels from a reserve, forest and caverns and springs, that we couldn't just blast because it was a watershed for half the continent. A region of small rivers and bluffs and farms, grazing sheep and peach orchards, and music. Even the rebels, trapped at last, had sung, either in defiance against us or as consolation for themselves, their voices reaching my appreciative ears as I stood at the mouth of the cave where they hid.
Death will overtake us in whatever manner already fated. Everyone falls to it, and so long as I'm ready, I don't fear it, no matter what form it takes.